This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I know you don't normally have church on a Sunday night, but church on a Sunday night is a great thing, eh? Look, you know, it's dark and it feels like you're in your living room and we're just going to worship together. I'm going to introduce myself and the team in a moment. We're the Shofar band team, but we're just going to get started. We're going to jump right into things. That's really bright. you can turn it off, I think. Let's all stand together. Maybe as you stand, don't you want to greet somebody next to you or behind you, somebody you don't know? Just meet them. Give them a hug or a high five. We trust that you came with expectation tonight.
Yeah.
Is there anybody who's ready to worship God tonight? Woo! Yes. We're going to sing quite a few songs from the new album, which I'll speak about in a moment. So if you haven't heard it yet, you might not know all the songs. I'm going to teach you the first one. The first one is called Rejoice. And it comes from Philippians 4, where Paul says, you know, no matter what's going on around you, rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, I say rejoice. So you can put the chorus words up there. And then I'm just going to sing it for you to teach you the chorus. So we rejoice in the Lord, and again we will say, you are always worthy, you deserve our praise. We rejoice in the Lord, and again we will say, you make us glad to always. You got the words. Let's try that together. And we rejoice in the Lord, and again we will say, you are always worthy, you deserve our praise. We rejoice in the Lord, and again we will say, you make us glad to always rejoice. Are you ready to rejoice in God tonight? Let's do it.
We will praise you.
measures oceans in his hands. He made all creatures for his pleasure. And from the dust created man. Yeah. Who conceived imagination? Justice is our cornerstone. Who governs history? Just by speaking, calls the nations as his own. There's none like you, no other God.
We fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you.
satisfaction. Let's just sing that. We fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. You're holding our complete attention. We fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. You're holding our complete attention.
God, that is our prayer tonight. Give us the grace to behold you. Not just to sing about you, God, but to sing to you.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Thank you that your desire is to reveal yourself to us. Holy Spirit, that's what you're here to do. So, Holy Spirit, we just honor you in this place. Come have your way amongst us, Lord. We're hungry and we're thirsty for you. We are hungry and we are thirsty for you. Nothing else satisfies. In your presence there is fullness of joy, God. All other ground is like sinking sand, Lord. The things of this world are bitter compared to you. But you satisfy every need, every longing, every desire. Tonight, God, we've come to fix our eyes on you. Everyone, you can take your seats just for a few moments.
Testing. Right, good evening, everyone. Let's firstly give a shout to the Lord for this amazing evening. Okay, wait. We're going to have to do that again. So let's shout in a way that you just like you've won this massive battle and this massive victory. You are standing here, but this is a shout that you're going to have to give to God tonight. So are you excited to be here?
Yeah!
Amen! Okay, that's a lot better. That's a lot better. And secondly, let's give a big hand to these amazing musicians behind us that dedicated their life to God. While we're there, just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can celebrate you, we can worship you, we can honor you, Lord God. And everything that we do, Lord, we bring our sacrifices, we bring our offerings, and now everything to you, Father God, so that you can take it, Lord God, you can take us. Father, we thank you for this wonderful evening. Father, we thank you that for your presence here, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak into every person's heart tonight. That you will open it up, Lord God. Tear it apart, Father God, to get to the deepest point where you need to work with him. Father, break down every barrier, every wall, every presumption that we came here with, Lord God, tonight of what it's going to be. And Father, just show us through your magnificent eyes who you are, Lord God. Instill in us this new heart, Lord Jesus, of worship, of living it to people out there, Lord God. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Good evening again from my side. It's really such a privilege for us let me stand up here. I'm not that tall. It's such a privilege for us to be with you. And, you know, the thing we're most excited about is just to worship with you. I know this is a church that loves to worship, right? So we are excited most of all to worship with you. Along with that, a big part of the reason why we're here is because this year we worked on a new album. It's the fourth Shofar Band album, so we are the Shofar Band team. It's not just those of us who are here today, but Shofar Band is kind of the songwriting and worship collective from all the Shofar churches. Let me quickly introduce the guys who are here. I'm James, I didn't say that earlier, Danny, and Hayden, and Carlin, and Greg. You got a wave, Greg. And then that's Martin. He's still on his honeymoon with Tana, who's at the back. So apparently Namibia is a popular spot for honeymooning
So they decided to come on tour with us. And then there's Yolandi as well, who's the most amazing girl who does everything basically behind the scenes, and Reynat, who holds us all together, knows how to pack a trailer and can drive a bus like a machine, and does sound. So let me quickly see, show of hands, who has listened to the new album Behold? Hands up. Okay, awesome, fantastic. So a lot of you will know the songs. Those who didn't raise your hand, you might not know all of the songs tonight, but then you've got some homework to go home. Just a quick testimony with this album. What a privilege. Last year, when we first started getting our things in order, we said to ourselves, imagine how great it would be if we could make it available for free for anybody to download. But you've obviously got huge costs to cover when making an album. There's studios and equipment and mixing and mastering and all of that. So we set out October last year for a crowdfund. We set a target, and we said, if we can make this target, if people give, individuals, churches give money, and we reach this target, then we basically cover our costs, and we can bring out the album, or we can give it away for free download. And in 1 month, the month of October, they're very excited about the crowdfund. In the month of October, we raised 180% of our target. So God is faithful. The good news with that means you can download it completely free as a website, noisetrade.com. You can just ask the girls if you forget that at the back, noisetrade.com. You can get it there for free. It's also on Apple Music and iTunes and all of the rest. And then we've also got some of these. Does anybody know what this is? It's a floppy disk. No, it's not. So this is called a CD. It's a compact disk. It's a technology from, a few years back, late 2000s, we would have used these. And then this, we also brought up because we know people love to give gifts, and maybe you've got a CD player in your car or something. So we've got these on sale as well at the back. We've got $65, basically just to cover the cost of making them. We don't really want to have more border problems, so please buy out all the CDs tonight. That would make it really great for us. But is there anyone who's having a birthday today? In the front. Happy birthday to you. I hope you've got something you can play it on. So those are on sale at the back, all the credit cards and everything. But we are just so excited to worship with you, and I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's all stand together. We're going to worship. Maybe we can hit those lights again. That was really nice. I know what it's like coming to church. You know, there's often 1,000 things on your mind. Maybe you've had a busy weekend. So let's just take a moment before we sing together to just consecrate this time to God. Just to quiet our minds and our thoughts, and just to say, Jesus, I'm here to worship you. To forget about those other distractions, to bring our hearts before the Lord. Let's just take a moment to do that.
Christ the Lord.
place is now. For there is one upon the throne. Raise your voices now and make his praises glorious. So in every knee will bow and every tongue cry out the praises of our God, Christ the Lord. When our eyes will see him, oh, we will see him. And on our faces will fall, joining with heaven, singing his praises. Oh, there will come a day when our eyes will see him, oh, we will see him. And on our faces will fall, joining with heaven, singing his praises. Oh, there will come a day when our eyes will see him, oh, we will see him. And on our faces will fall, joining with heaven, singing his praises. Oh, Christ,
trusting for something. Let's sing it out. Come on. Yes. Who can stop the love?
Still and know that you are God. That you're king above the battle. You're not influenced by earthly things. You're not intimidated by anybody. You sit high above. You're enthroned, God, above the circle of the earth. Lord, the earth is your footstool. We serve a mighty God.
Oh,
strongholds desert us. One word from your mouth, and heaven is summoned. This promise of joy will never be stolen. To know you, our God, our treasure, our portion, as we look in your eyes.
Revelation speaks of the song that is being sung in heaven, and that song has to do with the worth of Christ, the fact that nobody was worthy to open the scroll, no one was worthy to save us, no one was worthy to take, no one was to take our place, no one was perfectly righteous before Christ came and took our place. And then heaven sings of his worth. They sing, Jesus, you're worthy to open the scroll, to loose the seals. And he's the one who redeems mankind from every tribe and from every tongue. Just as we sing this bridge, it says, Jesus, oh Jesus, you're worthy. I just invite you to hear heaven's worship that is going on right now. To elders and the angels, the living creatures that are singing of His worth. And we get to join in with that song tonight. We're not just singing a song here at Shofar Windhoek in a church building, but we're joining with heaven. It declares that He alone is worthy. Jesus, oh Jesus, You're worthy, You're worthy. Jesus, oh Jesus, You're worthy, You're worthy. Jesus, oh Jesus, You're worthy, You're worthy.
Yes, You are.
Jesus, oh Jesus, You're worthy, You're worthy.
For you.
and we give you all the glory, and we give you all the glory, we give you all the glory, Christ the And we'll praise your name forever. And we'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever.
Lord, one more time, we'll praise. Great hope that we have a future of an eternity of worshiping Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence, God. Amen. You can grab a seat for a moment. Thanks, everyone. Is everybody still doing all right? Those lights are bright when it's been dark. In a moment, I'm just going to share very shortly a bit more about the heart behind the album and why we called it Behold and what it means to behold for us. Obviously, many people can give different answers, but for us, what it means to behold God. But before I do that, I've asked Greg. He's one of my besties, and he and I write a lot of songs together, and he wrote a lot of songs on the album as well, co-wrote. And so I asked him to share a testimony about one of the songs.
Hi, everybody. James, I'm also your bestie, so feelings mutual. Buddy. I just wanted to chat to you tonight very shortly just about one of the songs on the album called We Bring Our Praise. And, you know, I'm so fascinated. It sounds funny. Just by suffering, I think it's such a deep theological topic. And, you know, for me, writing songs, I think a lot of the songs that I see people respond the most to are songs that I've written out of a place where I've really not been in a good space. And I've been, you know, in tribulation and suffering. And this was really one of those songs, We Bring Our Praise In. My wife and I, we've been married for almost 11 years. And you know, before we even got married, something we felt so strongly on both of our hearts was just this calling to be parents, not only to our own biological children, but just to people in general, you know, as mother and father in their lives. And we were overseas for a while after we got married and came back to South Africa around 2012. And at that point, we started trying to start a family. And, you know, the months went by and a year went by and 2 years went by. And, you know, in those times you start asking questions of God. And, you know, it got to a point, I remember, where we had gone to church one Sunday evening in Cape Town. And there was a ministry call at the end to come forward for prayer if you just, you know, weren't in a good space. And I said to my wife, come on, let's go. And received some prayer, and she just, you know, said, I can't. I don't feel like talking to the Lord at the moment. And I'm just being honest with you, that's kind of where we were at. And driving home that night, you know, she was crying in the car next to me, and she turned to me and said something that I'll never forget. She said, you know, sometimes I wish that you had married someone else so that they could give you children. You know, that was incredibly hard for me to hear. And I said, you know, to her, how on earth could you say that? You know, I married you because I love you and not for what you can give me or what you can do for me, but for who you are. And, you know, I was bawling at that stage, just trying to keep the car in the lane and thinking just that night, you know, about that moment and how the Lord really came in and broke, you know, two things, I think, in my own heart. And one was kind of this, almost this idol that we'd made of children. We thought, you know, that if we just had children, we would be completely satisfied, you know. And if that were true, every parent on the planet would be the most fulfilled and satisfied person in the world, you know, and you can replace children with money or fame or success or popularity or whatever you want. But I think we realized in that moment that, you know, the Lord is the one who satisfies us, that we can be satisfied without children. That's the reality because, you know, that's just the truth. And, you know, a scripture that we clung to in that time and that's now framed at the entrance of our house is Hebrews 10 verse 23. And it says this, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And that really got us through, you know, that time. And praise God, about 3 months later, my wife found out that she was pregnant, and we now have two beautiful girls. So praise the Lord. But you know, I think something that the biggest revelation I think I've had in my life is the fact that God is worthy. That in every circumstance and season of my life, no matter how I feel on the inside, He is worthy of my worship in every moment. And, you know, that's really what a lot of what this song was about, you know, really just me reminding myself of the character and the attributes of God. If you just have a look at the verses, it's not up there now, but just singing about God's sovereignty and his faithfulness and his goodness. And then this chorus, which says, "We bring an offering of praise to you." And the second line's kind of the whole message of the song, I guess. Our circumstances don't determine what's due. In joy and tragedy, you're faithful and true. We bring our praise. We bring our praise to you. And yeah, so I just wanted to encourage you with that story. You know, another scripture in Psalm 73 says that the nearness of God is our good. And I just want to encourage you that if you are in a place of difficulty and of suffering, that, you know, there's so much reward and healing in the presence of God. So just I encourage you to press into him and to draw near to him and know that he who promised is faithful. Amen.
I was just going to use a music stand, but let's make it official. Thank you, JP. All right. What a privilege to be here, to worship with you. What a privilege to be in the presence of God together. It's nothing like it. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes and he speaks into our hearts, that's way better than 1,000 sermons or 1,000 CDs. This is when God comes in and establishes something in our hearts. I really want to thank you, JP, for having us. Thank you for hosting us for a full 2 hours now and for the night ahead. We've really had an amazing weekend. It's been very special. We took 2 days to get up to Swakop, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, yesterday, we did workshops, and then we had an ungodly amount of meat last night. that seems to be a thing here. And then this morning we had a really special time doing a launch with Shafa Swakopmund. It's been quite a hectic schedule. We were in India about 3 weeks ago. We did a school of worship there. That was an amazing experience, amazing people. Then we were in East London and then around the Cape. And now we're here. And then we're taking a bit of a break from the end of November because my wife and I are having our second child. So we're having another girl coming. We're very excited for that. So here we're launching an album, in December we're launching a baby. All right.
Everybody says the second one's really is a lot easier than the first, right? Amen? Amen? Okay, thank you. I receive that. And the third and the fourth. Hallelujah. I just want to share very briefly tonight a little bit more about this album and this whole concept of beholding God, seeing God. Let me pray before I start. Father, we just recognize tonight that you are the author of our lives. You know everything, God. Before we can remember, you were there, Lord. In our mother's wombs, you were there. You watched over us. Your hand was over us. There's nothing that escaped your attention. There's nothing that you missed. God, you know everything about today, and you know everything about tomorrow. There's nothing that surprises you. But you're fully in control. You are God, and we are not. And we just come to humble ourselves before you this evening, Father. We come to say that you are great, God. You are worthy of our worship. You're high and lifted up, God. We exalt you above our lives, Lord. We humble ourselves. We make ourselves low before you. God, and we don't want to come in presumption tonight, God. As JP was sharing in the offering, God, we don't want to come in dead religion tonight, going through the motions, going through the routine, Lord. But Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and reveal the Father. Come and reveal Jesus to us. Come and open our eyes to see. And to taste and to see, God, that you are good. We worship you. And we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So, we're speaking about what it means to behold. I know the word behold is not one that we use that often, right? Anybody used it recently? Without yesterday saying, come to the behold launch. That doesn't count. Okay. And where this whole album title started, it started with this last song that we ended off with, Behold the Lamb. And that song started with a time of free worship in Shofar, Cape Town. Greg was leading the worship. And as they were worshiping, this line just came out that they were singing over and over, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. And thankfully for sound men who are on the ball, there was a guy there with his phone and he quickly made a recording. And Greg sent that to me and I had some verses that I was spending some time over, but I couldn't find a chorus. And then the two just worked together so perfectly. And that became the song, Behold the Lamb. And that line, Behold the Lamb, it comes from the first chapter of John. And we're going to read that together. It's John the Baptist who's preaching in the wilderness. You know, he's preparing the way for Christ. He's preparing the way for the Messiah. This is what he was born to do, you know. This was his life's goal, was to prepare the way for Jesus. And so, can you imagine what must have gone through his mind when he saw Jesus coming towards him for the first time? To think that everything, his entire life had led up to this point where he sees Jesus. I think all of eternity is kind of building up to that point where he's going to come again. When we sang it this evening, he's coming on the clouds. I can't wait for that moment. And so John sees Jesus coming towards him and he says this to the people around him, Behold, look, see, take notice. Put your attention, put everything, put all your focus there. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when we're speaking about beholding God, we're speaking about seeing God, all right? And I know the whole idea of seeing God can be a bit confusing because I haven't seen God. Has anyone here seen God? No. You know, the reality is this side of eternity, we cannot see God. And I love what God says to Moses in Exodus 33, Moses asks, God, I want to see your glory. And God's glory being just the essence of who he is, his perfection and his holiness and his splendor and his majesty. And Moses wants to see this. And God says to him, I can't show you my fullness. I can't show you my glory. No man will see my face and live. Literally, if we had to see God in his fullness right now, if our eyes had to catch a glimpse of him, we wouldn't survive the experience. And so,
We know that this side of eternity, our eyes are not necessarily going to see God. We've got an amazing future. We sang about it tonight. There will come a day when our eyes will see Him. Or we'll see Him. And on our faces we'll fall, you know, just for eternity. We're just going to be casting our crowns before Him. We're going to be worshiping Him. That is a great future to be looking forward to. And so, we're not going to see God in His fullness, this side of eternity. But Scripture does speak about men and women of God who've maybe caught a glimpse. They've maybe had a vision or they've had a dream. And what I always love, whenever Scripture mentions something like that, you know, somebody who's seen God in, not in His fullness, but in whatever capacity He chooses to reveal Himself, I love to see how do those people respond. What happens when you see God, when you have a revelation of God, when you maybe have a vision or a dream? And you can put that slide up there. Moses sees the burning bush. And it says that he hides his face, afraid to look at God. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he has this awesome vision of God. You guys, have you read that vision? You know, where he sees the throne room of God. He sees his robe, the train of his robe that fills the temple. He sees the angels. He hears the songs they're singing. And he says, he's just suddenly so aware that he's unclean. God is pure and perfect and holy, and he's unclean. He says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Job, he goes through his suffering, and then there's the whole conversation between Job and his friends, and right at the end, God starts to ask Job some questions that Job can't answer. Isn't that funny? Greg was mentioning suffering, but I think so many times we want answers for our suffering, but sometimes God just comes back and asks us questions. You know, where were you when I made this? Where were you? Do you know where I store the snow and the hail and the lightning? And then Job says to himself, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen. And it says that he despises himself and he repents. Ezekiel and Daniel both have a vision of God. The one falls flat on his face before him. The other one basically faints, loses consciousness. And then John, in Revelation, he sees a vision of Christ ascended. Christ with the eyes of fire that we sang of tonight and the hair as white as wool. And he falls at Jesus' feet as if he's dead. Is anybody picking up a trend amongst all of these scriptures? There's a certain response that I'm seeing amongst all of these people. And you see it throughout Scripture when people have a revelation of God. It's a fear. It's a very real fear. And I know sometimes we're scared of talking about fear because we try to avoid fear. You know, we want to be strong and courageous. But this is a good kind of fear. This is a fear of the Lord. This is a fear where it's an understanding that God is so huge and so awesome and so powerful and so mighty. There's no end to His knowledge. There's no end to His power. He is everywhere. Isn't that an amazing thought that right now across the earth, there's nowhere where God is not. When we're here together, He is here. When you go home this evening, He is there. When we go through the valley of the shadow of the death, He is there with us. This is the God that we serve. And so He's so huge and He's so perfect and He's so powerful that often when we come into His presence, we suddenly are so aware of, I'm small. I don't deserve to be here. I'm imperfect. I'm fallen. I'm sinful. And we don't feel like we deserve to be in the presence of God. And yet, that is the very heart of the gospel, of the good news. I'm just encouraging you tonight. The good news is the fact that we do not deserve to be in God's presence. We do not deserve to stand before a holy God. But, yes, He's holy and He's perfect, but He's a Father who made a way for us to be with Him. And not just to stand in His presence, but to stand boldly, confidently in His presence. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Amen? Is it very warm tonight? We need fans in this place. So God is a Father who wants us to be near him. And we are all aware of our own fallenness and our own everything. We all know our weaknesses. But this is the heart of the gospel, that God makes a way through Christ, through the blood of Jesus. He makes a way for us to draw near to him and to know him. And he opens, maybe this side of eternity, he doesn't open our natural eyes to see him. But scripture speaks about our spiritual eyes. We have a different kind of eyes, not just these. And I think so often we're so caught up with what we see with our physical eyes. But we have spiritual eyes that are able to discern spiritual things. And scripture speaks about the fact that God wants to open our spiritual eyes to see him. And we can read that together. That's from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul praying for the Ephesian church. And he prays this awesome prayer. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, may he give you the spirit, may God give you his Holy Spirit, who's the one who reveals. His Holy Spirit is the one who gives wisdom. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Enlightened being meaning being opened. Having your eyes were closed, but let the eyes of your heart be opened. That you may know what is the hope to which he's called you. We have a glorious hope. Amen? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? We have a glorious inheritance. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? And I know if you've experienced salvation, coming to faith, and you know that moment where Jesus picked you up out of that dark pit where you were, where all we knew was shame, all we knew was brokenness and nakedness, and we're so aware of our own sinfulness. And when Jesus pulls us out of that place, we were blind, but now we see. We were not able to see him, but now we can see him. And the amazing thing is that there's nothing that we can, that's nothing we can do. We can't open our spiritual eyes. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our spiritual eyes to see God. It's as if we had this veil that was over us. And Paul also speaks about that veil in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, we're all with unveiled face. So when we turn to Christ, we have an unveiled face. That veil, that blanket, that covering that prevented us from seeing God has been removed. And we're all with unveiled face. We're beholding. We're seeing. We're looking at the glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This scripture challenges me so much. Especially for those of us, so many of us are so performance orientated, right? You know, we come to faith in Christ and we know that we're saved by grace through faith. It's only grace that saved us, but then we try to earn that salvation. We try to perform our way into God's presence. We try to prove the fact that, yes, God, you saved me for a good reason. I'm going to be a good Christian. And what I love about the scriptures, it just comes and says, you know, how do we become more like Christ? By beholding. By seeing God. And this comes by the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who transforms us. Just by seeing God. Just by having him before us, setting our hearts and our minds and our eyes on him, we're being transformed. We're being changed from one degree of glory, it's a slow process, one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord who's the Spirit. So there's this awesome invitation that God gives us to see him and to know him. And I don't know about you, but the more I discover about God, the more I see him, the more I realize I know nothing. Just because he's so limitless. And I think I know something, and then I realize, no, I know nothing. I feel like I get saved on almost a daily basis, where I just realize everything that I've known God, I've walked with God for so long, but there's just so much more to discover. We're going to spend our entire lives, we're going to spend our entire eternity discovering the glory of God. But at the same time, there is a war that is raging constantly for our attention and for our affection. God invites us to see him and to know him, but there's a war that is raging for your and my attention and for our affection. It's happening right now. Maybe you're sitting here and you're struggling a little bit to concentrate, or you're feeling a bit distracted. It starts first thing in the morning. I always like to do this exercise, you know. Take a moment, if you can remember, what is the first thing you woke up with this morning? Can anybody remember that? It's something I'm trying to become more conscious or cognizant of, is what are the things that I'm thinking of as I wake up? Because I realize that the war starts right there. It starts the moment I open my eyes. Where is my attention? Where are my thoughts? Where is my heart? It's so easy to grab the phone and begin to plan your day, think about what has to come. It's so easy to take the same worries and stresses that we went to sleep with, for those to be the first things that we wake up with in the morning. Where is our attention? And on one hand, the things that are stealing our attention and our focus and our eyes being set on Him and seeing Him are the things of this world. You know, it's the things that we all know about, all the things that try to seduce us and draw us. But I find that many times it's even the good things in my life that are pulling, trying to gain my attention, trying to consume my thoughts, trying to be that place that I go to when I maybe have some spare time, I've actually got a moment to breathe. You know, where do my thoughts run to? You know, sometimes it's the gifts in my life, the gifts that God has given, the relationships. Greg was speaking about his children. I've got a daughter as well, and another one coming in a couple of weeks. So I know the blessing of children, but I know also how easy it is for my heart to turn to the gifts of God and not the God who gives the gifts. It's so easy for us to become consumed and distracted and make idols even out of the things that God has given us. Sense of ambition or purpose. It's beautiful. It's amazing. You should be going to work or studies or wherever you are with a sense of, you know, intention. You're being intentional and you've got purpose and you've got vision. But I find that so often my heart tends to want to make that the God of my life, instead of the God who gives that. So what we live these distracted lives. You know, we fill our time with so many things. We're constantly looking to stimulate ourselves. I heard somebody say the other day, we've lost the ability to be bored. Hey? We don't know what it means to be bored anymore. We just, if we've got a moment open, we will fill that time with something. We live busy lives. I always do a bit of an honesty test at this point. If somebody asks you, how's it going with you? How many of you answer some variation, most of the time, answer some variation of busy? Hands in the air. Okay. It's very shy hands, you know. This morning in Swakopmund, only about a quarter of the people put their hands up. So I think it's very chilled in Swakopmund, maybe. Holiday time, people aren't busy in Swakopmund. But I know for myself, it feels like 9 times out of 10, if I ask somebody, how's it going with you? I'm busy, busy, besig, besig. And I find it becomes our default answer. We're filling our lives with so much. But if we want to behold God, we need to learn to be quiet. We need to learn to be present. We need to learn to shut off the distractions for a moment, to be still, and to know that He is God. Because the reality is that we live in this constant state of distraction, and we take that into the presence of God. And we don't even know anymore what does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does it mean to be still before the Lord? What does it mean to be present? One of my favorite quotes from a pastor that I know is, you know, a lot of modern songs and stuff sing about God, let your presence fall, let your presence fall. And he's saying, we don't need to pray for God for His presence to fall. God is present. We're the ones who need to be present. We're the ones who are distracted. And we end up numbing ourselves to true relationship with God and true relationship with one another. We get distracted by the things that are going on around us. You know, Greg mentioned this so beautifully. Just the storms that are going on around us, and how in those moments, in those difficulties, in those trials, and a lot of the songs on this album, pretty much most of them, were written in some or other difficult situation. where there was a choice. Am I going to fix my eyes? Am I going to behold the storm that is raging around me? Or am I going to choose to behold Christ, the one who's with me in the storm? Because the invitation is always there to behold him. He always invites us. Come, sit at my feet. Come and behold me. Come and see me. He always wants to reveal himself to us. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He's the best one at it, is revealing the Father, revealing Jesus. That's what he wants to do in our lives, is to reveal him. So Greg mentioned the lyrics of "We Bring Our Praise." We bring an offering of praise to you. Our circumstances, the things that are going on around us, the stuff of our lives, how we are feeling does not determine my response of worship. I'm not going to bring a worship based on how I'm feeling around the things that are going on around me. Or another of the songs, "You Are the Potter." I'll not be ashamed. I'll not be disappointed. In this life you give, in both pain and in joy, because you are just. The reality is that our circumstances don't change the worth of God. No matter what was going on around us, he is worthy of our worship, and he's calling us to behold him. One of the songs that I wrote in the album as well, we sang it right at the beginning, is "Fix Our Eyes." And the bridge there goes, "We fix our eyes on you, we fix our eyes on you, we fix our eyes on you. You're holding our complete attention." And I always say this, I didn't write those three lines because I didn't know what else to write. Hey, couldn't find anything that rhymes with "you," so let's just repeat it three times. But would you agree with me that fixing our eyes on Christ is not a once-off thing? It's not a prayer that you pray once and then off you go, living the good Christian life, eyes fixed. Because we get distracted. And there's intention in this repetition, because it's about cultivating a heart and a desire and a longing. I'm so inspired by people in the Bible like David, who just, whether he was being pursued by Saul or whether he was in sin or whether he was in victory, whatever situation of his life, his heart always ran back to God. And I want to cultivate that lifestyle of fixing my eyes on Jesus constantly. God, I know I get distracted, but Jesus, I fix my eyes on you. I fix my eyes on you. I want you to hold my complete attention. And of course, that line, "fixing our eyes," comes from Hebrews chapter 12. I'm nearly done. I'm not going to be much longer. I know it's warm tonight, and we're going to end off with a little bit of worship. But Hebrews chapter 12, one of my all-time favorite scriptures. It's just so encouraging. May this encourage you tonight. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these amazing men and women of faith, let's also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." That's maybe a word for somebody tonight. Lay aside those weights. Lay aside that sin that clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. How do you not grow weary or faint-hearted? You fix your eyes. Consider him so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. If you are weary or faint-hearted tonight, it's good news. It says, consider him. Behold him. Fix your eyes on him. And so that's really the message of this album, is just an opportunity, an invitation to come and to behold God, to be still, to be present, to behold him in his word. I don't need to mention this, but the word of God is obviously the foundation of our beholding God. We cannot know God without knowing the word of God. Amen. And so that was also our desire as the songwriters. We wanted to magnify the word of God. We wanted to push as much scripture as we could. If anything, our songs are a little bit long and wordy, but rather that and they've got scripture in them. We believe that scripture changes people's lives. So we want to sing scripture. We want to declare scripture. We want to know scripture. So that's the invitation, to behold God in his word and to behold him by his spirit. The spirit is the one who unveils us. The spirit is the one who gives us eyes to see. Spirit is the one who transforms us from one degree of glory to another. And it's the spirit of God who speaks the truth into our lives, not only of who God is, but who we are. We cannot know ourselves without knowing the Holy Spirit. We cannot truly know ourselves without knowing the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want to end off tonight. Who are we? Romans chapter 8. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit of God testifies, witnesses with our spirit, that we are children of God. This is who we are. We are children of God. We are sons of God. And I always say this to the ladies. Ladies, you are also sons of God. All right? Because sons of God is in the biblical context. Sons received an inheritance. And sons were given an authority to act on behalf of the Father. And this is what God is saying to us. He gives us an inheritance. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer slaves. We are sons. And my last encouragement for you is a line that God dropped into my heart somewhere over this last year working on this project, where I just felt him saying to me the one day, James, worship like a son. Very simple. Worship like a son. It changes everything. Because one of life's biggest questions is who am I? You know, it's one of those things that we need to wrestle through. Who am I? Where am I going? What is my purpose, my identity, all of these things? And if I had to ask you, you know, who are you? Tell me about yourself. If we had to go one by one down the aisle, start with Danny and with Carla, and tell me about yourself. I think so many times if we put in that position, tell me about yourself, we start with our career, you know. In Danny's case, he's studying to be a teacher, or maybe you're an engineer, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Or we focus on where we're from Windhoek or Stellenbosch or South Africa or Namibia, wherever. We focus on our culture. I'm Afrikaans, I'm English, I'm whatever. And yet, we don't enter God's presence in our identity as an engineer or a teacher or a mother, or a father, or anything. We enter God's presence as sons. We are qualified to enter his presence, to stand before him as sons, because Christ has given us his righteousness. We are co-heirs with Christ. We have the same righteousness that he has before the Father, so that we can stand not just in the presence of God, but as I said earlier, to stand boldly, confidently, joyfully in the presence of God. And this is the heart of it. This is why worshiping as a son is a powerful thought, because a son doesn't wonder if he's welcome in his father's presence. Amen? A son doesn't wonder if he's welcome in his father's presence. And yet so many of us, we feel afraid to approach God. We're so aware of our fallenness. We're so aware of our shortcomings, where we've disappointed ourselves, where we've disappointed family maybe. And we feel ashamed. We feel unworthy to approach the Father. But if we understand what it means to be a son, we know that we are welcome in our Father's presence. And then the amazing thing is, no matter whether I'm a huge success or a huge failure in the eyes of the world, that does nothing to add or to remove from my identity as a son of God. I'm a son of God, and I can stand in his presence. The song we're going to end off with tonight is a song called Holy. And the second verse just describes it so beautifully for me. What does it mean to worship like a son? It says, no longer striving. In other words, no longer trying to perform our way to impress God, to prove ourselves to God, as so many of us love to do. We're so performance orientated. But no longer striving in grace, in the gift of God, that is grace. We're abiding in grace. We're resting in grace. We've been caught by grace. And we are surrendered at your feet. In other words, I'm not living for myself anymore. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. We're going to end off with a song. The band can come up. And just while they're coming up, I want to read one final scripture. It's from Hebrews chapter 10. I want to ask you to close your eyes as I read this. Just allow the truth of God's word to come and be established in your heart. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Father, tonight we thank you. We just want to start by saying thank you for the invitation to know you, to walk in fellowship with you, in communion with you and with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you didn't leave us as orphans. But you are faithful. You are God Emmanuel. You are God with us. And maybe for some of you, as I was reading that scripture, that line, full assurance of faith, maybe jumped out at you. And you know tonight that you don't have full assurance of faith. You feel unworthy before the Father. You don't know what it means to stand there blameless, free, joyfully, boldly, confidently. Maybe tonight is the night when you need to come to salvation, to the place where you recognize that you cannot save yourself. It's just the blood of Jesus that can save you. Maybe you are saved. Maybe you know that you have a relationship with God, but there's constantly these accusations and this feeling of unworthiness. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And you know that whenever you want to spend time with God, whenever you want to approach the throne of grace, there's just these accusations, these arrows, these darts that are thrown at you. Or maybe when you want to spend time with God, when you want to spend time in his presence, you're just so distracted. Even on a night like tonight, your mind is on 1,000 different things. And you don't know what it means to be present. You don't know what it means to wait on him. In a moment, we'll give you a chance to respond to one or two more of those. I'll hand over to JP. But I just want us to worship on the song. Just as we sing the song, holy, just respond as the Holy Spirit leads you. Maybe you need to be silent. Maybe you need to just sit. Maybe you need to kneel. Just as an act of showing, you know, that I'm humbling myself before God. Maybe you need to sing this. Maybe you need to dance. I don't know what you need to do. But just respond as the Holy Spirit leads. There's freedom in this place. Amen?
Amen.
Let's not miss what God has for us tonight. Father, we don't want to miss what you have for us. You have a gift to give to each one. You want to reveal yourself to us. God, and I especially pray for those who have lost hope, who don't come to you with expectation. Because you say in Hebrews, God, that when we approach you, we must come knowing that you exist and that you're the rewarder of those who seek you. God, teach us what it means to seek you and to come with an expectation of a reward. Jesus, you are our exceedingly great reward. But maybe some hearts here have become so cold and so unexpected when we come before God. I believe God wants to make hearts soft again tonight. Make hearts vulnerable again. Come and have your way, Lord. Spirit of God, come and have your way amongst us. Spirit of counsel and might, wisdom and revelation. blind and brokenhearted. Heal our wounds. You set the captives free. You open the prison doors. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. God, glorify yourself amongst us. We're going to sing the song. If you want to stand with us and sing, please stand and sing. If you need to kneel, please kneel. If you need to sit and be silent, be silent. We don't have to perform here. But let's just be present to what God wants to do amongst us. Amen.
We bow our hearts, we
take a moment to be still before the Lord. Just believe as we're being still now, God is stripping away just that need to perform and to prove ourselves. Just enjoy being a child of God in His presence. Slave to fear, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. I'm no
for a bit. I know you've been quiet for a while, but I believe truly that God is asking you to take that one step forward and place your hand in front of you and just break down the wall that's keeping you from taking that step. So many of us keep our hands so close to our hearts, we just want to guard that. But I really see in the Spirit tonight that God just wants you to extend your hand to the front and just move it. And say, move that wall. In the name of Jesus, we have that authority, people. Take it tonight.
Yes.
Take it tonight. Move that wall in front of you. Take that step tonight and move that wall in front of you. Step out of that. Step out of that box. Step out of that cage that's keeping you. We just sang, my fears are drowned in perfect love. Lord Jesus, thank you for your perfect love. And if you are in a bad place tonight and you're struggling to get that wall to go down, taking that step, I really want to invite you to the front. I want to pray with you. I want to trust the Lord that nobody will be held captive tonight. And then there's the other side. If you've never committed your life to Christ, we can go on with long stories tonight and tell you, yeah, it's so amazing, it's this and that. But you know, He's the great I Am. He asked the disciples, who do people say I am? Who is God to you tonight? How has He revealed Himself to you tonight in this moment? Three songs, through the worship. Have you allowed yourself to step into the place of saying, Lord, behold, I can see. And if you've never committed your life to Christ, tonight is a night. There's an opportunity for you to say, Lord, here I am. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, everybody's just in their place speaking to the Lord, I just want you to, if you've never done it before, I want you to quickly raise your hand. And you want to do it tonight. If you want to do it tonight, just raise your hand. God is not a God of fear or shame. For He says in Romans 8 verse 1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Where you stand tonight, there's no shame, no matter what you've done in your life. Jesus' arms is open for you tonight. He doesn't invite you into a worldly world of riches, of fame and fortune, the cars, the houses. But He invites you to the place of eternal life with Him. Sense there's a person struggling with his or her emotions tonight. You're on the brink of crying. You really want to cry. You just want to let it out. Because God is just saying to you that, you know what, you need to open up. You need to let go of that. And I love being practical. I want you to just place your hand on your eye. Sort of press it on the bottom here. And just say, Lord, release that emotion. Release that tear. Release that feeling of bondage. Release that feeling of not being able to release, Lord. Allow the Lord to touch you tonight. We want to honor you and we want to thank you tonight for just opening up the wounds that we so often cover, opening up our eyes that we so blindly walk with. Lord, enabling our hands to take, to push the wall and break it down with the authority of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Lord, thank you that you're touching every single person here tonight in their heads. That you're placing this desire in their hearts, Lord, to be holy as you are. To live lives of holiness. Lord, I pray that you will take your hand and you will dig it deep into our hearts. Circumcise it to the point, Lord God, where it's acceptable and pure before you. And Father, where there's hurt in our lives, where we're struggling to let go, I pray, Lord, that you will come and you will touch it. Father, you will pour out your love over that person. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate your grace tonight because your grace is enough. Thank you that we can celebrate your mercy, Lord. For we are nothing without it. Father, day and night, let incense arise, Lord God, to you, the Holy One. And as we lift up our hands, we just say, holy, 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 Lord God. Come cleanse our lips tonight, Lord God. Come cleanse our lips with a coal of fire, Father God. So that what we speak and what we say to the world about you, Father, will just glorify you, magnify you. Edify you for your own God. Lord, thank you for who you are. And that tonight we can fix our eyes on you, Lord God. Not just as a normal, not as a line that we write in a book, Lord God, but really lift our eyes up and fix it on you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being the author and the finisher of our stories of our lives. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. Behold, the Lamb of God sits upon a throne who's worthy to open the scroll. Facilitators in the front here, I really want to invite you to come to the front, not to leave. If you have a desire that we can pray for you, please don't leave if you haven't made right with God tonight. Just come as you are. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So please don't leave if you've got unfinished business. If you walk out that door, you've got to be sure. You have to be sure. And And the only assurance is Jesus Christ. Father, we just want to bless you this evening. And I thank you, Lord, for every heart that's here. Father, we want to pray that you will keep them safe on the road home. And you will continue to stir and break down all those layers and layers upon layers, Fathers, of deception that we have in our lives. Lord Jesus, and that you will reveal in our moment of quietness, as James also earlier said, in boredom, that we will reach that place, Father, to open our hearts to you. Let us not be just busy, 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 Lord. But let us take a time and be quiet and be still before you, Father. Thank you for your blessing upon this evening, Lord Jesus. We honor you, we praise you, we give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The band's just going to continue a couple of more minutes. Those of you that need prayer, please come to the front. And the rest, thank you for this wonderful evening. Looking forward to seeing you again soon. You can just leave quietly, thanks.
What a beautiful name it is.
For listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.